We're studying the Old Testament. Last week, we got to Mount Sinai. We got to the Ten Commandments, and David talked to us about the Ten Commandments. Where in the Bible, in what book in the Bible, would I find the Ten Commandments? Exodus. In what chapter would I find the Ten Commandments? Exodus chapter 20. There are 40 chapters in the book of Exodus, and the first 20 chapters are about the Exodus. What happens in the last part of the book of Exodus? Now, if you've got those Soldiers of Christ cards, you've got a card that is entitled The Tabernacle and the Priesthood. What does the word tabernacle mean? That's on card number one. Easy card, the prophet card. What's the word tabernacle mean? Just means a tent, not a tent of worship. It just means a tent. And so when Peter was at the Mount of Transfiguration, it's good to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. He may not necessarily have been talking about let us make three places where we can worship God. And so they came to that place to build a tabernacle. What are the dimensions of the tabernacle? You see, up until this time, the worship had always been at home. It had always been centered as an individual family kind of thing. And now all of a sudden, it drastically changed. God has selected the Jews. He's brought them out of the land of Egypt. And He's given them a tabernacle in which to worship. Does anybody have any idea how big this tabernacle is? David, would you stand up right here on this pew, all right? Now, you keep standing until I tell you to sit down. Can you do that? Yeah. I'll show you how wide the tabernacle was. The tabernacle was 15 feet wide. You see where David is? Hi, David. Wave at me. All right. 15 feet between me and David. That's all the width the tabernacle was. Novell, stand up. Little Novell, would you mind standing up? Young Novell, would you step back about two pews? Stand in the middle of the aisle, right over where I am, and this is how big the tabernacle was. We think of the tabernacle, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. David, are you looking over here? You still here? It was this wide, and see Mr. Novell back there? It was that long. That's all the bigness of the tabernacle. And we totally, totally misunderstand that. 15 feet by 45 feet. That's how big it was. That is not big at all. Now then, around the tabernacle, you can go back to your seat now, David. Thank you so very much. Now then, little Novell, you can go back to your seat too. All right. Around that tabernacle, there was a fence. If you'll put a slide number four, if you will do that. Around that tabernacle, there was a fence. I must mean, is that four? One, two, three, four? That's not the one I wanted. There it is right there. Around that tabernacle was a fence. The fence was 75 feet wide. I believe that is the right number. It was 50 cubits. Yes, that's 75 feet. How wide was the fence? You see this window over here, the stained window that's over here? You see the stained window that's over there? That's all the width there was to the courtyard. And sitting right in that was the tabernacle that was sitting in the middle of it, 15 feet wide and 45 feet long. That's all the bigness it was. Our mind of that tabernacle was some humongous thing like St. Peter's Cathedral or something in Rome. It was really, really a small, small tent. Now, the length of that, of the tabernacle, would come from this point that I stand and would go all the way out to the welcome table. And that's all the bigness there was of the tabernacle and the courtyard. You don't have to know that to go to heaven. But it will help you to understand when you begin looking inside this place, because there are two rooms in the major building. You see the part that is shaded in the gray there. You see underneath the front room, the holy place, and then the back room, the most holy place. God designed this. Now the New Testament is concealed inside the Old Testament. And so whenever we read about the holy place and the most holy place, we're beginning to understand about some New Testament concepts. And so you have the dimensions, and so you have the two rooms in the tabernacle. Those two rooms are on the king card, just if you're trying to keep up looking at the first room as you would enter in. And by the way, the tabernacle always faced toward the rising sun, always faced toward the east. Just as a matter of trivia, in reality, when you bury people in South Florida, guess what direction their head is placed? They always lie so that they will, when they wake up, they'll flop up on Resurrection Day and they'll be able to see Jesus coming from the east. They misunderstand, you know, as the sun comes from the east to the west, I bet you didn't know that. Aren't you glad you came to know that? And when it's north and south, they always face south. Mark it down. Next time you go to a funeral, just make sure they do it right. If they don't, tell them that you'd better get back and learn how to run a funeral home. Anyway, it always faced the east. And as you entered in, there were some things that were outside. You see the altar and the laver. Let's look into the rooms. Inside the holy first room, that room was 15 feet by 30 feet, by 45 feet. That's how big it was. And you and I need to understand that it was 15 feet by 30 feet. Pardon me. It was 15 feet by 30 feet. And it was not big at all. 15 feet, that's this distance over here. 30 feet is where no veil was standing, right back there. That included both rooms where no veil was standing. And our concept of that is so wrong. But inside that first room, there were three articles of furnishing. There was, on the north wall, the table of showbread. You remember when David ate the bread off the table of showbread whenever he was hungry? And they did not condemn David for what he had done, and yet they condemned the hungry disciples of Jesus because on the Sabbath day they were rubbing the grains in their hand. It was a table of showbread. It was changed every week. There were 12 loaves on there of unleavened bread, and the priest ate that unleavened bread on the Sabbath day. It was the food that the priests were allowed to have. There was one loaf representing each one of the 12 tribes. On the south wall, what was the golden candlestick. When you read the book of Revelation, he's standing in the midst of seven candlesticks. The Bible describes the size of that, describes the design of that golden candlestick. There was a center pole, and coming out were three branches from each side, with a total of seven lampstands, candles on the end, but not candles, a place where there would be olive oil that would be used so that they could have light inside the holy place. That's part of the work, evidently, that young Samuel did when he came to work with Eli, and that was to trim those lamps every morning. In addition to that, there was an altar of incense. That altar of incense was not nearly as big as you might think of it is. I've written down the dimensions right here in the top page of my Bible as to the exact dimension. It was one cubit square. If you'd start to look down from the top and you look down at that altar of incense, you know how big a cubit is? It's this long. Put your hand on the pew in front of you. It's 18 inches long. It wasn't big at all. We think of this thing being massively huge. It was not. Just this long and this deep is all the depth of it. The Bible even describes the height of it. So there it sat, and every morning during the time of prayer, the priest would go in and he would burn incense. And the incense would ascend up into upwards and evidently flow over the partition that separated the holy place from the most holy place. That partition was called the veil of the temple. Now the priest could go in every day, but only the priest could go in and do priestly duties inside of that. And so evidently at the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice, that incense went up to God over the veil into the most holy place. That's where God was to meet them. You and I need to understand exactly what Christ did for us. There were feast days that were there in Judaism. And on the holiest day of the year, the Day of Atonement, one day every year, the high priest, not every priest, not ordinary priest, but there was only one high priest at a time, went that day into the most holy place. You see what's over there? Is the Ark of the Covenant. On the Ark of the Covenant, there was a sheet of gold. It was, the Bible gives us the exact dimensions of it, except it doesn't tell how thick it was. And that place was called the mercy seat. It is where mercy is centered. And on that one holy day of the year, we know that as Yom Kippur in English terminology. In the Old Testament system, he would carry the blood of bulls and goats into the most holy place and make atonement first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. Holy men need to come before God. And he could not go in there with all of his sin until atonement had been made for his own sins. You know what Jesus did? On the day of our atonement, figuratively, when Jesus ascended back into heaven, he carried his blood into the most holy place and offered his blood there as an atoning sacrifice for us. That's the argumentation found in the book of Hebrews. We're trying not just to study the Old Testament, but study the Old Testament and see everything that is involved. On the cards that you have the two rooms, you have the furnishings inside the most holy place, and then placed on top of the Ark of the Covenant, that's the king card, was the seat of mercy, and there were the cherubims that were there. The furnishings inside the holy place, that's in that king card, and that is the table of showbread. There is that golden candlestick that was there, and there is that altar of incense. Outside in the courtyard, now you've got this, the tabernacle itself is 15 feet wide. It is cubical. The most holy place is 15 feet deep, and then it is 15 feet tall. You then had the most holy place, and it was 20 by 15 by 15 feet high. It was covered. Look at slide number 1, 2, 3. Look at slide number 3. There were coverings that were placed over that. There were four different coverings that were placed over that. Sometimes you'll see this with a flat roof. Sometimes it has more of an elevated roof. That may be slide number 5 that I'm needing then. I think I've laid these pages down wrong. Yes. Look at slide number 5. We'll give you a better understanding when I talk about the coverings that were there on the tabernacle. And so that's where they came. This building was kept inside, was the center point of the Jewish camp. when they were in the wilderness for the 40 years, they always tribally sat either on the north or the east or the south or the west side. And God specifies all of that as to where they were to encamp. And so they encamped around it. Now then, over the tabernacle, that was the scripture reading tonight, was that pillar of fire that was there at night. And there was that pillar of cloud that was there in the daytime, which signified the very presence of God. Which of all the Jewish 12 tribes, what was the priestly tribe? The tribe of Levi. The third book of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Guess what Leviticus discusses? It discusses Levi duties. It talks about the sacrifices of the Levites. And they were the ones who were in charge of doing all of these things. Let me ask you to right now, pick up one of the Pew Bibles. And I think we have two different styles of Pew Bibles, but most of them will, if you'll look inside that, go to chapter 20 and look at chapter 20. And the reason I'm asking you to pick up the Pew Bible is because it has the headings. And if you're trying to find things in the Old Testament, this is one of the best ways. Where am I going to find about the tabernacle? Well, it takes 20 chapters to get out of Egypt and to get down to Mount Sinai. In chapter 20, what's a heading you got in chapter 20? You've got the Ten Commandments. And so that's where the Ten Commandments are listed. Now, look at the headings beginning in chapter 23. You have headings in chapter 23, Justice for All. And then on the next page in my Pew Bible, the law of the Sabbath day and the three annual feast days. You've got in the giving of this law a description of what Judaism was like. Three times a year, every Jewish male had to go to Jerusalem to keep these appointed feasts. Look in chapter 25. The second heading I have, chapter 25, verse 1 says, offerings for the sanctuary. That's why I hope we all have the same Pew Bible so you'll understand what I'm talking about. Then down around between verse 9 and 10, you've got the Ark of the Sanctuary. What's that? That's the golden Ark of the Covenant. Guess what was inside that golden box? It's where they kept the covenant, the Ten Commandments. At other times, two other things were found inside that, but it was the Ark of the Covenant. You see, the next heading is the Table of Showbread. You see the next heading? The Golden Lampstands. Chapter 26, the heading is the Tabernacle. Chapter 27, the Altar of Burnt Offerings. Where did they offer their animal sacrifices? Go back to slide number 6, I guess, is probably the best. Look at slide number 6. Outside of that tabernacle, there was the brazen altar. It was square. It was 7.5 feet by 7.5 feet and 4.5 feet high. That's how big it was. And I guess the Lord's table here, it may be 8 feet long, your guess would be, but it wasn't very large at all, and that's where they offered their animal sacrifice. And there's a description of that altar of burnt sacrifice. You've got in the middle of chapter 27, the court of the tabernacles. And then in chapter 28, you come to the garments of the priest. And so in chapters 28, you have a description of the priestly garb and what they wore and details about how they were to do all of these things. When you get to chapter 29 is where the Levites are sanctified and Aaron and his descendants are sanctified to be the priest and the high priest. You get over to the middle of chapter 29. I have to turn the page. I've got the daily offerings, the altar of incense, the ransom money. I've got the bronze laver, that is outside, before they went in to do their priestly duties, they washed themselves as they did all of these things. And so that's what you have in the book of Exodus. God, because these men had been brick masons and not masons first, they took mud and made bricks. They were unable to make all of this golden furniture. And so one of the questions down here is the name of the man inspired by God to build the tabernacle. That is on the king card. Inspired by God to build the tabernacle is a man by the name of Bezaleel. And God gave supernatural ability to a man who had been making mud bricks to make all of this beautiful furniture that was there. He inspired him and gave him the ability to teach uninspired men how to do that. You've got a similar thing when you get to the New Testament church. Inspired men are given the ability to preach and to teach, and they in turn are to teach uninspired men how to preach, how to preach and to teach. Across the in the garments of the priest, go back to the cards. The priestly tribe was the tribe of Levi. I'm looking at the prophet card. Right under that is the first high priest, and that's Aaron. There should have only been one high priest at a time. When Jesus was put on trial, there were two high priests, Annas and Caiaphas, because money had gotten involved in it, and they bought the right to be the high priest. That's how polluted they had become in relationship to this. The priest card, you've got the stones that were used by the priest to make decisions. You've got that. The answer to that is the Urim and the Thummim. In some way, there were two stones, and when they wanted an answer from God, they could go to the priest, to the high priest, and he would use those stones in some way to get A or B as a decision, or to get yes or no as a decision, depending on which stone gave the answer to them. How that stone gave the answer to them is a matter of speculation, and nobody really knows for sure, but these stones were used to make those decisions. Priest card, you've got written by the finger of God, and that is the Ten Commandments, just to make sure we cover all of these questions that are here. The idol built by Aaron at Mount Sinai, and David talked about this last week, about the building of the golden calf. When they arrived at Mount Sinai, God spoke from the mountain and gave them the Ten Commandments. It is after God had spoken the Ten Commandments that Moses then went up into heaven, or went up into the mountain, and there was given the handwritten copy by God. God cut the stones out, and God with His own finger wrote the Ten Commandments. That is the first written Bible that we know of. And it was written by the very finger of God. Moses broke those Ten Commandments because of the golden calf, and so Moses had himself to make the second tablets of stone, but the finger of God wrote those Ten Commandments. How inspired is the Bible? The finger of God picked every single word there was and put it in the first Bible. And that's what He did for us when we think about the verbal inspiration of the Bible. And there's a question on the king card, and that is Moses' reaction whenever they worship the golden calf. I believe David talked about this last week. He burned that idol, he ground it up and sprinkled it on the water, and he made the people to drink of it. You want this golden calf, you can have it, but you're going to digest it. You're going to have to drink it down. When Moses is on the mountain, he cannot see God. What was the reason that Moses could not see God? He goes up there, it's for 40 days, and he does not see God. Why could Moses not see God? You've said it. No man can see God and live. So he went into the cleft of the rock. And God covered Moses in the cleft of the rock, in a recess that was there. And he saw not the face of God, but he saw the hind side of God, saw the backside of God. Think of the songs that we sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. We are as much in the presence and the blessings of God as Moses was when he stood in the cleft of the rock. You know, let me hide my faith in thee, Rock of Ages. And that's based on the very things that we're reading about here. When Moses comes off the mountain, his face is shining so much that he cannot see, that they cannot look on his face. So Moses puts a veil on his face because it is so bright, brighter than the sun, that it would harm your vision if you tried to look on the face of Moses. Moses had been in the very presence of God, and so now they're ready to build the tabernacle. The people give. How much do they give? One of the questions is on the priest card is the amount given by the Jews. They gave more than was needed. And what showed God's presence when the temple was erected? That was the scripture reading we had tonight, Exodus chapter 40. When you get to the last verses of the book of Exodus, when you arrive there, you have arrived at the time that the temple has been built. It is erected, and God, to show His presence, comes down. His is manifested in a glorious cloud that was so dense that you could not enter into the tabernacle because God was inside that tabernacle. He was in the most holy place. And so on that Day of Atonement, whenever the priest went in to offer that on that one day of the year to offer the blood of bulls and goats for the sins of the people, so that God would not remember their sins on that day, and atonement was made for their sins, he went into the most holy place, into the very presence of God, where God says, My glory will be there. The Hebrew word for glory is Shekinah. The rabbis say, not the Bible, but the rabbis say, that the light that you had in that back room could not come from that candlestick because of that curtain, that veil of the temple that separated the two. And so whenever he went into the back room, the glory of God, the rabbis say, a shining light was there. If you've been to that Bible Land experience in Orlando, is that the name of that? They call it the Bible Land or the Holy Land experience that's there. Whenever you're there, when the priest goes back into that back room, they've got a light that shines there. It is a visual situation. I would encourage you to go to that because there are some things that are there that will help you visually to see the very things that we have tried tonight. Tabernacle worship. Not the way we worship God. We are God. That temple was torn down and not one stone of it is resting upon another. It does not exist anymore. But the Bible says Christians are the temple of God, and to Him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Tabernacle worship. And its furnishing. You don't have to know all of this to get into heaven, but I think it is fascinating to look at this, and especially to look at the dimensions of it. And Dirk, you and Darren, you need to figure out the weight of this tabernacle. Whenever you think of how heavy the boards were, whenever they tore this thing down, there were ox carts, had to be several of them that were in charge of tearing all of that down and moving that tabernacle. The weight is astronomical, if you'll stop and think about the weight of a 2x12, something like that, you know, that would be you know, that'd be 15 feet long. And then put that around all the way thing, a 2x12, how many of them, Dirk, can you pick up 2 or 3 maybe? 1 or 2 of those, and imagine having a wall that was made that way all the way around the outside. The Levites, each of them were in charge. There were Levites that were in charge of the furniture. There were Levites that were in charge of the drapes and the coverings that were there. The other thing is, that veil of the temple, when Christ died on the cross, the veil of the temple was torn open, signifying that we now, because we are priests of God, have access to go into the very presence of God. There is no man, there is no priest that stands between you and God. That temple has been destroyed, and that veil has been torn asunder, and we have access into the most holy place. Thank you so much. We'll start again next week with looking at the book of Leviticus.